The beginning of Perigimel. At the end of Perig Beis, Avner and Yayav, I shouldn't say they made Shalom, they didn't make Shalom, but at least they called a truce. Avner and Yayav decided that it was not Kedai to continue the Melchama, and they let Klal Yisrael stay as is with two kings, with Ishbosheth being Melech on the 11 Shvatim, and David as a Melech on Shevet Yehuda. The pasuk says, "Vatehi haMelchama Aruka Ben Beis Shaul Ben Beis David." This Melchama between them lasted for a long time. VeDavid Hoylech VeChazek uBeis Shaul Hoylchem VeDalim, and the Beis David was getting stronger, and the Beis Shaul was getting weaker in the years that came. The Da'as Seifim just points out, this doesn't mean that there was actually Melchama in the sense of the word that people were killing each other as in the previous parak. It's not what happened. There was no longer any Melchama, there was no battle, there was no killing, but there remained a sense of Melchama, a sense of animosity between those that were following Shaul and those that were following Beis David. And I'm not sure. He generally has an earlier source, and I'm not sure where the earlier source is. Sorry. The Halach V'Dalim, the Abarbanel says, actually Abarbanel is in the previous parak, he says to answer the Kasha about what happened with the extra 5 years. He said the Ishbosheth was king for 2 years, and David was king for 7 years. So the Hakasha, all the Rishonim ask, what happened to the other 5 years for the other 11 Shvatim? Who led the other 11 Shvatim? So the Abarbanel names on that when it says Ishbosheth was Melech for 2 years, it means he was Melech for 2 years up to the incident which we learned about, where the army of David, of Yayav, defeated the army of Avner. And the subsequent 5 years, it was Halach V'Dalim. In those 5 years, Ishbosheth, Melucha, people deserted him, left him alone. He was, in a sense, a Melech for the whole 7 years. But in fact, he was only a true Melech with Tekifus for the first 2 years. And this remaining 5 years were a period in which David's Malchus was accepted more and more. And people came to realize that Ishbosheth Malchus would not last. As I state in Abarbanel, Vayeldu LeDavid Banim B'Chevron. The pasuk tells us now, for the first time, a little about David's children. So David, in these 7 years that he was in Chevron, he had, as we'll now see, 6 children. Vayehi B'Chayrai, David's eldest son was Amnon, who was born La'achinayam ha'Yisraelis. His Bechar was rather not born to his first wife. Was born to Amnon. His first wife, of course, was Michal. U'mishneyu, and his second son, Chilav La'avigayel ha'shesnaval ha'karmeli. His second wife's son was Chilav, who he had from Avigayel. We learned that after the incident with Naval, when Naval died, David married Avigayel. Vashlishi Avshalim ben Macha bas Talmai Melech Geshur. His third son was Avshalim, the son of Macha. And Macha, David's wife Macha, was the daughter of Talmai Melech Geshur, was a princess. And we'll see in a second how the Shidduch came to be. But at any rate, we have here the first 3 sons of David. And this is a study in contrasts. The eldest son, Amnon, we'll learn later that Amnon was a chayte. He was ma'anes, a sister of his or a stepsister of his. And the Mishnah says in Megillah that Parshas Amnon, the any haftarah that includes in it the mention of Amnon ben David, we don't lay barabim. It's mamish a bezayin for David to even mention that he had such a son like Amnon. And who's his second son? U'mishneyu Chilav. His second son was Chilav. Chilav, Chazal say, in the beginning of Brachis, was was an Adam Gadol B'Taira, as we'll see soon in Rashi. And the Gemara says in Bava Basra that Arba Mesu B'Itay Shel Nachash, there are four people who died B'Itay Shel Nachash, who didn't sin, and one of them was Chilav. So here we have David, actually the name is Chilav. So we have David's eldest son Amnon, who sinned, his second son Chilav, and his third son Avshalom, who, as you all know, we have the Maisa Avshalom later, where Avshalom rebelled against his father. Let's see Rashi. Rashi says about Chilav, Pasuk Gimel, Mishneo Chilav, Uvumachim Acher, Hu Kaira Isaiah Mishneo Daniel. In the Divrei Yamim, it calls the second son of David Daniel. So why here is he called Chilav? Amarim Yitzchak, Shahayu Leitzane Hadar Aimrim. The Leitzane Hadar said, May Naval Haisa Avigail Muberis. David married Avigail immediately after Naval died. So people, the Leitzane Hadar said that Naval is actually pregnant, carrying a child from Avigail's carrying a child from Naval. So therefore, Nepach Klasteroiv Nidma La'aviv. The nace happened, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu made that the Klaster Panim of Chilav was Daima to David, so now the late Sadi Adar had no Taina. Right? This is similar to Yitzchak, where Hayul Sadi Adar Aimri Me'avimelech Nisabra Sarah. So the nace occurred, and it was Nepach that Yitzchak looked like Avram. A second shot, Rabbi Seinu Amru Zok Rashi, Shahayu Machlim Pnei Mifi Baishis Ba'alacha. This is a Gemara in Daf Beis, in Dalit and Brachis, where it says that Chilav was Mechale Av. He was Mevayish, his Av, his Rebbe, that he was Matzliach. It says that Mifi Baishis, this is not Ish Baishis, Mifi Baishis Ben Yainasan, used to outdo David in learning. So then David was Zaychit to have a son, Chilav, who outdid even Mephibosheth. He was in a sense, he embarrassed him in the sense that he argued points with even Mephibosheth, who was even bigger than David. And this is, as I mentioned, the second son, Chilav. There's an incident that occurred, I believe it was with the Malbim. There was a Din Torah with Pesach time. Before Pesach, as you know, there's a mitzvah to give Mois Chitim. Nowadays, Mois Chitim is something, we don't have a organized kehila, and Mois Chitim is pretty much left to the mailman to bring you the envelopes. But it used to be, and this is clear from Shulchan Aruch, that Mois Chitim was a set amount that everybody in the kehila had to give. Kolecha kifi ashrai, people would give. Says in Shulchan Aruch, if someone lives in a city, Yud Beis Chodesh, so he has to be mishtatif. It was clearly something that was done with rules and regulations, and it was a serious tax to give Mois Chitim. So there was an incident with a wealthy person, somebody worth fighting over, who had a business in one town, and he lived in another town. And obviously, they tried to tax him on both ends. They came from his town where he lived, and they gave him a bill for Mois Chitim. And they came to the town where he had his business, they gave him a bill for Mois Chitim. So he told them, listen, I don't know where I have to give Mois Chitim, but I don't have to give twice. So they got into an argument. These said, he has to pay where he lives. And the ones where he worked said, what do you mean he has to live where he has to pay where he works? So they got into an argument. So they went to the Malbim for a Din Torah. Where's a person's residence, his Ikka residence, where he works or where he lives? So the Malbim, being a Baki in Tanakh, among other things, brought a raya from this pasuk. Now, how do you see it from this pasuk? So the answer is, now I'll read you a different pasuk, and then you'll see the raya from this pasuk. In Perikov, hey, pasuk beis, it describes novel. And it says, V'ish b'ma'ayin, there was a man who lived in Ma'ayin, u'maseyu b'Karmel. And his business was in Carmel. So here you have a person who lived in one city, in Ma'ayin, and his business was in another city, in Carmel. V'ish gadol m'yayin, and he was a wealthy person, And it says, V'shem Yesh Novel. This is Novel. So Novel, Hastas, he lived in Moin, and he had a business in Carmel. And what was his name? Shteit, here in the Pasuk, Novel HaKarmeli. Novel was called Novel HaKarmeli. So we see that the Iker Makim of a person, at least for certain purposes, but the Iker Makim of a person, is Iker Makim Dira, is considered the place where he makes his money. Now, I don't say that this is a raya you can't answer. I suspect that the Malbim had independent reason to hold this way, but I'll go upon him. This is a point that he made. It doesn't bother us because we don't remember that he was in mine, right? But him, it struck. I said, Novel HaKarmeli. He's not Novel HaKarmeli. He lived in mine. The teretz is that where a person works, at least in a certain sense, is considered his Iker Makim. Now, what about Avshalom? It says Avshalom was the son of Macha, who was a daughter of a queen. Now, Chazal say of a king, she herself was a princess. So the Radak brings down Darshubai Lefi Shahaya Ben Yefas Toyar Shalakha David B'Mulchama. Avshalom was the son of a Yefas Toyar who David took in the Mulchama. And this was the source for the problems that David had ultimately with Avshalom. Avshalom was mekayim this smichus. V'nachinu adrash ki mi'achash ayishvuya hare. He explains why. Why is Yefas Toyar have children that aren't hagunim? Because she's forced to be mekabel das Yisrael. Right, in English they say the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. In Lashon Kodesh, haneta yaitze demus hashayrish. The plant comes out similar to the root. And memela, the Yefas Toyar son Avshalom caused problems. And of course, we're going to get back to Avshalom. Let's go on. We have here three more sons of David that I mentioned. Baharavi Adoniah. The fourth son is Adoniah, or Adoniyahu, as he's called later, Ben Chagis. Vachamishi Shefatya Ben Avital. I should point out that Adoniah, or Adoniyahu, will also be a source of Agmas Nefesh to David, B'Saif Yamav. Adoniyahu will also try to take the throne, not really from David, but he's going to try to take the throne from Shlomo HaMelech, the Saif Chaye David.
What there happened to talk from Rashi that the children that Abigail found, where they said to Nabal, if they were born in Hebron, didn't David marry Abigail long before that? That it would be pretty much impossible?
Okay, it's a good point. The teretz probably is. You see, it's also most likely that David waited the chadashim of Havchana. It's most likely that the teretz is that leitzane hador, if you have kashis, the leitzanim gei vaiton. It doesn't matter. The mus klas teponav is daima, so what are you going to say? But the vaitai sakasha for letz is the nishazogar sakasha. Pashtus is that they were actually born during these 7 years. So that would leave a two-year gap. Not left out a two-year gap. We don't know exactly. We mentioned the amount of time that passed in between. It was a total of 2 to 3 years that Shaul was Melech. And David was running away. We came out of Picheshman. It would have to be about a year or so. And we don't know where the Maisav Novel happened. But it's most likely that it wasn't Dafka in this time. Because of Leitzanei Adar, we don't have to say that it was Dafka within that time frame. Vashishi, and the sixth son Yisram was Yisram LeEgla Eshes David. She was born to Egla, the wife of David. Ela Yuldu LeDavid B'Chevron. These are the six children that David had during the 7 years that he spent in Chevron. Now, why does it say Yisram LeEgla Eshes David? Why is it called Egla Eshes David more than anyone else? So the Mefarshim all asked this kasha. So Rashi says, first of all, Egla zu Michal, Shoysa Chaviva Olav. Egla is actually Michal, David's first wife. V'cheinu Weimer lulei charashtem be'eglasi. We find by Shimshon that Egla is a nickname for a wife, even though Shimshon says it in a sense of rhyme. So frekt Rashi v'aksivu l'micha b'sholoi hayov lov lad ad yaymaisa. There's another passage that says that she didn't have any children until the day she died. So how could it be that she had a child? Emphit Rashi, ad yaymaisa loy hayala, may I say maisa ve'eloch. Only from that incident, which we're going to learn about in Perek Vav and on, she didn't have children. But kaidem maisa maisa havala, she had a child earlier. Why is she called Eishes David? So first the Mitzudah says, apshipipshat, that Eishes David goes on all six of them. But the Radak and the Ralbag bring down that she was called Eishes David for a different reason. The Radak and the Ralbag bring another pshat in who Egla was. One pshat that Rashi says that Egla was Michal. The other pshat, and it's important to know this, we'll get back to this, Hashem, as Vaita in the Perek this comes up. The site is important to know. Those of you who have the Radak, the Yesh Lefarish Oid, in my print it's the first wide line, those that have Navi in middle. In the other prints it's probably a little more than halfway through the Radak. The Yesh Lefarish Oid, Ki Egla Zayis Hoysa Eishes Shol. This woman, Egla, she was originally Shol's wife. V'lakha David Achrei Mai Shol. And David married Shol's wife. Like HaKadosh Baruch Hu says later, that I gave your Adon's wives in your chayk. Aye, how could David marry Shaul's Amana? You're not allowed to marry an Amana of a Melech? The Teretz is, Hari Amru, Melech Noisei Amunasei Shal Melech Acher. It's actually a Machlaikis, but the Radak goes with the Shita that David could marry another Melech's Amana. She was only right to be the wife of David. Lafisha Hayamelech, because he was a Melech and he was right to marry her. And he goes on, but this is another pshat in who Egla was. And as I said, this is going to come up later. Now, what? That's another thing. You attack the Arayas from here. That's brought down, I believe, in the Yerushalmi, that mutter adam beishas chamav. A person's allowed to marry not his mother-in-law, not his wife's mother, but a father-in-law's second wife, that mutter adam beishas chamav, the Makaris Taka brought down from, now I shouldn't say from here, but from the pasuk quoted here, Nishay Adei Necha B'chekecha, from there, that's the Makar.
Was she now, mother or mother?
What?
Was she Michal's mother?
No. Now the point that comes up here in Navi. We learned Shmuel Aleph. So first we have Eli, Lehochu Banav Bedrachav. Then we have Shmuel, the Pasuk says, Lehochu Banav Bedrachav. So we have Terutzim, Kalayim, Echata, and Elatayim. But Akoponim, their children were not Mamish, Hochim, Bedrachayim. And here we have David, a similar thing. We have six children listed out. Of the first four, we know something about. Three of the first four, they were Rishon B'nai Tzadikim. So the truth is, in the way Chazal look at this mitzius of a Rasha Ben Tzadik from Gemara, Chazal seemed to deal very harshly with such a mitzius. Gemara says in Sanhedrin, the Gemara is dashing the pasuk that talks about a baskayin who's mezana. It says this avia himechaleles. So it says hayeremei. This is in Sanhedrin. Hayeremei aimer ma talmud loimer es avia himechaleles. Shem hayenaygin by kaidash naygin by chayel. Somebody has a daughter that goes and is mezana. So hayenaygin by kaidash naygin by chayel. Kava naygin by bezayin. Aimrim arush is a yalad. Arush is a gidel. Like who? Are we allowed to call a Rasha the son of a Tzaddik? We're allowed to call him Rasha ben Rasha? goes with this idea that a father is acharai for his children. This is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, in Chayshim Mishpat, where it talks about kansing somebody who's mevayish somebody else bepeh. It says if someone's mevayish a tzaddik who has a son who's a rasha and he calls him a rasha, so state in Shulchan Aruch that you can't cancel him because the Gemara says that a rasha ben rasha you're allowed to call a rasha ben tzaddik. Azay is gebracht in Shulchan Aruch. Gemara also in the end of Sukkah says shusa di yanuka b'shuka azay de avuay de ima, that there is Chazal seem to deal strictly with blaming parents for chalila, for rishis and children. So there was an incident where the Mabit has a tshuva where somebody learned this heta. So tayngechep the heta. A tzaddik, he called him a rasha, the fahesia, with this heta, the kavan karina, and tzadach mitzvah, you know how it is when people get into fights. So he called him a rasha, and he said he has a heta, shtei tochin gemara. So the Mabit takes away very much from this. He says, and this is Bekitzer, the Lashon of his Tshuva. He says, Memra zu eino kepashte. You can't take such a statement literally. I shouldn't say you can take it literally, but you can't take it without qualification. V'loi nemra akol tzadik shebnei rasha. K'hayu paigmin ba'aveis hakadoshim. Some of the Aveis also had children that were Rishoyim. Ki Yaakov Avinu hu levado shayisa mitase shalema. Kama gedolim kadmainim v'achrayinim. There were many gedolim shasa akel yisbarach v'hadayreis v'tachas achita yatzachayich. It happened often that a tzaddik has a son that's not haylach b'drach of chalilu la'elu me'resha. We can't necessarily call them rishoyim. And he gives guidelines. It's interesting. One of his guidelines is that al tzaddik b'maisim toivim nemrun devarim halalu. When is that Gemara saying someone is a tzaddik, he shines in doing maisim toivim? But somebody who's a tzaddik in learning in limud haTorah, then he says we can't necessarily blame the achrayus of what happens to the child on the parent. And he gives further qualifications to this, which of course we would have to apply al pi pashtus to David, to the Avais, those who had children that were Rishoyim. And I say this as a hagdama to what I'm going to read you from the Medrash, because certainly whatever fault the Medrash brings, Chazal bring in David or even in Yitzchak, has to be taken with a grain of salt. It has to be taken that kefi madrei gasam, we can't necessarily shatz up exactly how the blame is assessed except to try to learn from it. It's interesting, there's a Saparnai who mamish drays this whole Gemara Sanhedrin upside down. Saparnai Vayichi says that when it says you could call a Rasha ben Tzaddik, Rasha ben Rasha, he holds that God doesn't even mean you could call his father who's a Tzaddik or Rasha. He says it means that if a Tzaddik has a son who's a Rasha, so you have to be Tyler the Rishis somewhere in a Zayda who was a Rasha. Like Chizkiah had a son, Menashe. It says, don't call him Menashe ben Chizkiah. Chizkiah was a melech, who was a tzaddik. His father was Achaz a Rasha. So it says, call him Menashe ben Achaz. So it means, don't call him Rasha ben tzaddik. Call him Rasha ben Rasha. Be toilet that this teva comes from an earlier dar. See, mamish dreza, the pashtus a Gemara, not what vashteit pashut in the Gemara. Now, having said that, let's see what the Medrash says about why David had children that were not Hoychim Bidrachav. And the Medrash is the first Medrash in Shmais. And it goes on the Pasuk in Mishlei, Chaysech Shiftai Sainei Benai. One who hides his stick hates his son. Which means to say that if you have children, you have to have a stick. It doesn't give a size measurement on the stick. But the Achrayim do, as we'll see in a minute. Part of the Medrash, it says, "Binog shebaaylam adam shayim lechaveray plainei hikal levanecha." If somebody tells someone hit your son, So Yeridim Lachad Lachayov, it bothers him, he runs after him. If you hold back from your children, Mardus, Saif ba l'tarbus ra v'sayneyu. The Saif will be the Medrash Taiches that a person will go to Tarbus, that the child is b'sakana that'll go to Tarbus ra. And it says weiter in the same Medrash, ki yaitza ba yasa David ba d'ayniyo. And the Medrash is Sestira. It says in Melachim that Isa Yol Dachre Avshalim. The Malachim, it seems to say, that Adoniyah had the same mother as Avshalim. Isa Yol Dachre Avshalim. If the Avshalim, the next child she had was Adoniyah. That's a stira to our Pasuk. By us in Pasuk state, that Avshalim had one mother, and Adoniyah had a different mother. So Zok the Medrash, Kiyaitza by Asadavi by Adoniyah, Shalai Rido, Bi Yisurim, Vlai Garbai, Lefikach, Yatza, Letarbis Ra. And it says, "Va'isa yol da achrei avshalim." Frak the medrash halay avshalim ben macha va'dayniyo ben chagis. They are different mothers. Ma'al va'isa yol da achrei avshalim elamitayach sheyatzah avshalim letarbis ra v'leiridayu aviv v'ksiv va'dayniyo v'leiatzavei aviv miyabiv avchu yatzah letarbis ra. If the avshalim went letarbis ra, then yo had got the idea. Also, he wanted to be melech. Avshalom was a matzliach, he hoped to be matzliach, and his father was not strict with him. The Meila Azoy state in Medrash, the Medrash faults, actually it's come out of Pasuk in Malachim, faults David for not being strict, with Adoniyah, and Pashtus for Shaita is Atamish Genukashlogin, he didn't have a stick to hit him enough. The question now is, if we're saying that everyone has to have a stick, so maybe some of us on the way home will stop in to pick up a stick. It's not so in style today to have sticks. So, lamezen tachazal taichop the inyan of chaysech shiftoi sayne benai. What is the inyan to hit your son? And it's very interesting. Ramesh has a tshuva. The name of the tshuva is, should one hit his son even if he's good? Someone has a bend the gomer, should he hit him? What makes it interesting is that the Shail is Ramesh's son. And he isn't the Shail. So Ramesh brings down a Gemara in Makis, which is part of really Reb David's Shail and the Truva. The Gemara in Makis says, if a father hits his son, Chalila, if he kills him, b'shaygeg, he doesn't go to Golos. As I state. So the Gemara says, it comes to tell us, Afa Gav de Gomir. Even if the son is good, he's learning. Still, you hit him. Still, it's a mitzvah to hit him. So, Moshe's Mazba, what's pshat? If your son is good, you hit him. So, does that mean you come home tonight? If I got the stick, you hit him? What did I do? Nothing. You're good, you hit him. So, Zakhar Moshe's not pshat. If someone has a son who's good from day one, you should go to a psychiatrist first with him. But if someone has a child who's good straight through, such Ramesh is no one need to hit him. What's pshat in the Gemara ben de gomir? It means if a son does something that he deserves to be hit for, and he does tshuva, he has charata, he's a ben de gomir, he learns, such Ramesh should hit him a little anyhow. Why? He should. This doesn't mean every single time. If a kid does something bad and he says he's sorry, you don't have to hit him. But it means if a child who doesn't get hit for doing things bad and occasionally does something bad and he does tshuva, a child should grow up knowing for doing something bad you get hit. It puts in a person yiras hacheid. Ramesh has an interesting declare. He declares if hitting a child is a mitzvah or only a hechsha mitzvah to get him to do things that are good. That's Ramesh's declare. And he says it's a gufa mitzvah. It's mashrish yiras chait. If a son does something bad, and he says, grad, it's in the Mishnah, it says, av hamakas benai, and a rav will write this tamidai, and it says, a shliach bezdin. Just like in bezdin, Zakhar Moshe, someone does something, there's malchus. He does tshuva. He gets malchus anyway. So, kamai kain ben de gomir, that's pshat in the Gemara, that a son should get hit, even if he does do tshuva, to be mashrish yiras chait. A person has to occasionally hit his child. Now, first of all, this sounds like a kula. It means he can hit him more often. On the other hand, in the Emes Hadvarim, it's a Chumrah. The hitting has to be Mashrish Yiras HaChet. The hitting has to be a purposeful Eiske Cheshmet, the hitting, for a person to be allowed to hit his child. And this is a very strict interpretation of Chayseich Shiftai. In hitting a child, there are very, very strict guidelines on when a person is permitted to, despite Ramesh's seeming kula. First and foremost is Vashtet in Rambam. And the Rambam says something that parents have to chazarain, and it's a klal in hitting children. Zok the Rambam, this is in the second parak in Ilchus Deos. Yelamed atzmai shelo yichais. A person should get accustomed to not getting angry. Afilu al dova shelo yichais alav. Even on something it's right to get angry about. Vimraitza lahatel ema albanov ubdei beisai. If somebody does want to get angry and to be matel ema on his family, they shiazru lamutav, so that they should do tshuva, so they should do things right. Yireh atzmai bifneiem shehu kayes kedei liasram. You have to act angry. You have to act very angry. Kedeli Asram to give it to them. But to hey daitai miusheves beinayla beinatzmai. But you have a chiyuv when hitting a child that you yourself have to be in control and know what you're doing. Kaadam shehu medame kayes b'shas kasai v'weine kayes. Like an actor who's acting like he's angry and he's really not. Amru chachamim arishayim kol hakayes kilu eved avaydazara. That a person is not permitted to hit mitoch kas. A person can be marekas, but he can't hit mitaykas. I think I once saw in the Lev Eliyahu, he writes that once his son did something really terrible, and it bothered him. So he writes that he didn't hit him till 2 weeks later, to make sure that he was hitting him mitacheshbin, and he didn't hit him. Kozman, he was really upset about it inside, he didn't hit him. So Mustam, he told him why he was hitting him 2 weeks later. He didn't just wait by the door with a stick. But in a constructive way, he hit him not mitoich kasai, not from mitoich his own kas. And there's another Gemara in Bava Basra. The Gemara in Bava Basra says that Rav gave instructions to Shmuel Bar Shilas. Shmuel Bar Shilas was a malamed. So he gave him instructions on how to hit. So the Gemara says, Achafala from Midbeis, that he told him, Kimachisa liyanuka. When you hit children, Laitimche ela ba'arkasa de misani. Don't hit them only. Now, arkasa de misani, you could translate to mean a shoelace, which doesn't sound like something very constructive to hit with. But Rashi says it means makos kalos. You should only hit small patch. Ben Yehudis is very good. He says, what's a arkasa de misani? He says that it's a belt. But it looks real scary, and when you hit it makes a big noise. But it doesn't hurt that much because it's only made out of a soft leather. So he says, when you hit your children, that's what you have to do. Dick is not the patch, dick is the aima. So now what Shaila is, what happens if you try to hit gently and it doesn't work? So what do you do now? So state in the same Gemara, if it doesn't work, if he doesn't learn after you hit him with Arkasa de Misani, so you don't hit him vaita. Says, let him sit in class and not learn. Maybe his chaverim will be mazurim lamuta. As I state in the Gemara of Bava Basra, the Shulchan Aruch Rav adds a few words that are pella mamish. He says that if you hit a child not kafi the guidelines of Chazal, ya'iva belav k'may b'make kaladim. As I state in Shulchan Aruch Rav. The lesson I think is that a child should not be driven to extremes. You don't drive a child to extremes. A child has to be hit as much as possible, as much as gently hitting and scaring ketuayif. But more than that is not necessary. And hitting mitech kas, generally doing anything mitech kas, is not constructive. And certainly not in this way. Now, does that mean that we're taking the pasuk chayseich shiftai, zayinei benai, and we're turning it upside down? Not at all. A person has to be strict with children. Are we going with the secular ideas of not hitting children? Chas v'shalom. There's one basic difference between the secular concept of not hitting children and the Torah concept. The secular concept of not hitting children is, if you hit children when they grow up, so then they're going to learn that when they want something, they'll also hit. That's the idea. We see, Sinishtazai, there are plenty of Shchayim in the Gassin that don't even know who their father is, and they beat up their mother more than their brother beats them up, and they hit, they were never beat up as kids. So that's Akasha. But this is the Shita that they go with. Zakti Mr. Melio, it's based on one toes. And that is that in the secular world, there's a concept of teaching children to be independent. That concept of teaching children to be independent takes away from hachnoah to a parent. If you teach a child to be independent, and you teach a child that he's an equal to a parent, so avad, if the parent teaches him that when I want something, I hit, so he learns that when he wants something, he hits. But if a child grows up and knows that a parent-child relationship is different than any other relationship, so there's no reason to assume that whatever hanhaga his parents have to him, he knows his parents don't punch the next door neighbor in the nose when they want something. So therefore, there's no reason to assume that that's something that they will learn themselves to do, I mean, as far as other people, to have that hanhaga. Now, so what we're saying is that Chaysech Shiftai is Avada Yisayne B'nai. A person is supposed to hit, there's a makim to hit, but it has to be done within the guidelines of which we learned too. It should be a makah kala, and it should be done in an eifin where the parent hopefully has self-control, or at least some semblance of self-control at the time that he's hitting and he knows what he's doing. There are three important guidelines, and don't get me wrong, I don't claim to be an expert in these areas. I'm just starting to learn. Raising children is an on-the-job, you learn on the job. But in Chazal, we do find in the Gra particularly two important guidelines. And I want to be magdim, an important guideline, it applies particularly to small children, that I heard over B'Shem Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov once went to visit a principal of Manal in Yeshiva in Tarvadas, and he went to his house, I don't know why, but he went to visit him in the house of Hashtetzach. Rabbi Yaakov was coming, they set up a nice table, and everyone, they made the house all nice and neat, and there was a little child, a 2-3-year-old child. Rabbi Yaakov came in and was sitting by the table with the Manal and with the wife, and the little baby was on one of the chairs. So smack in the middle, while they're talking, this child climbs up on the table. There was something good at the other end of the table, and reaches all the way across and spills out half the things on the table and reaches to take something. So of course, the mother, who was, I don't know how long she prepared, the house should be neat and all, grabbed him, and I don't know if she actually hit him. The Rabbi Yaakov said, I'll tell you a yesod with children. Anything that you're not worried they're going to do it b'mchasana, don't hit them for. They climb on the table. Zogzachnish, she's going to grow out of climbing on the table. You don't hit a child for that. That was Rabbi Yaakov's side. It's an upside. If you think sometimes that, when they grow up, they're naturally going to grow out of it. So that's not something to hit them for. Now, that means that if you find them coloring with the crayons on the new wallpaper, so you don't have to hit them. You feel very much like doing it. So the teretz is that you have to know what's constructed. That doesn't mean you give them a lollipop for doing it. A person could be strict with them. Or Rabbi Yaakov is saying, to save your punishment, a real punishment, a parent could only exert a certain amount of times. Could only be strict with a certain number of things. You're strict with everything, it doesn't work. Save it for something that counts. Don't use it for something that the children go out of naturally. Now the yesod in Chinuch Habanim, in this area, is the gross yesod in the Pasuk Chanoich Lenar Al Pi Darkoi. steht in Gra, Chanoich, Lenar, Alpidarkoi, sagt der Gra, don't try to change the teva of a child. Because it's impossible. Koshe ma'oid, it's very difficult. La'adav lishbar tivoi. It's not impossible, but generally it's difficult for a child to break his nature. If somebody has, and we know that children are born with different natural instincts, some children are wild and some children are quiet and some children are loud and some children are all over the place, they can't sit still. Zok de Gra, don't try to break his teva. If you try to break his teva in front of you, he'll act differently, and not in front of you, he'll go back to his nature. Try to nitzais whatever nature a child has, try to nitzais as best that he can. If a child is lebedik, let him nitzais his lebedikai, give him things to do. If a child, somebody sits down to learn with a child, so some children sit still when they learn, and some children have to dance all over the room. Kachu ateva. Don't try to break it. Try to make it. With the tansen, try to make it that he's able to chaz it. And this is an important yisoid, moshteit and gra, that a person has to be mechanach al pidarkoi, and this is the old rule, you can't compare people. And this comes up most often when people have children, particularly when you have your first child and he's first growing up, and you go to a neighbor, and their children sit so nicely by the Shabbos table, and your child doesn't, so you feel that there's something wrong. So the first thing is, you tell yourself, when you get home, your child will be different, that's it. People are different, parents are different, children are different, and as I get this, and everybody has a different nature, you can't compare children, you can't compare what one person does, what another person does. I can tell you, Bididi, when I got married, my wife had a 7-year-old brother. Now he's already quite a bit older. But a few years ago, we were by my in-laws, and one of my children, who was grade 7, he wasn't sitting by the table, by the Shabbos table. He didn't have the gedul to sit by the Shabbos table. He wanted to sit on the couch and read. So my wife, being at her parents' house, felt very self-conscious about it. She says, he doesn't sit by the Shabbos table. What are my parents going to think? So I told her, you know something? I remember 10 years ago, there was another 7-year-old child who didn't sit by the Shabbos table. And Baruch Hashem, it's fine, I skivaxen. When you try to set certain standards that you see by others, it doesn't work. I'm not saying chanoich l'nar apidarkai. Some children should sit properly, and chanoich, it's also apidarach of the parent. Parents have to be consistent, but al kopanim, they have to try not to judge a child by other people. Now, as far as hitting a child, the Gra gives a very important klal. And this klal today, I think more so than in previous generations, we live in a time where people don't have patience. We live, particularly here in the city, in a very fast-paced society. And Ka'azayi's parents, Pashit, don't have so much time, or feel they don't have so much time and so much patience. And what happens inevitably to every parent who tries to learn with his children is that it's very difficult for a parent to learn to have patience with a child. It's a pella that the same parent could come home and be upset that a child doesn't know a taitch where they learned that day. And the same parent could be that by a daf yaymishir that morning, he doesn't know all the taitch words himself. But as I is, the psychologists tell us that people see their own failures in their children. But as far as teaching a child, the Gra tells us a very important yisoid. And this Gra is in his letter to his wife, the Igeres HaGra, which I've quoted here on other occasions. You might think it's a tremendously long letter. It's not, but it's Malei V'Gadosh with Chachma. And the Igeres HaGra, he advises his wife as follows. He says, Laman Hashem, Lashon Chizuk, Laman Hashem, Tadrichem B'Toiv U'V'Nachas, V'Gam Tashkiach Abriyosam U'Mezaynosam Tomit, V'Al Yechabed Aleyem, Kiim B'Nachas, Ki Halimud Einoi Nikve Ba'odam, Ki Im B'yishuv uvenachas. Learning, a person cannot learn under pressure. If he's threatened that he'll be hit if he doesn't know, that will not get him to know. That might get him to try to repeat things, and even that he won't be good at. It will not get him to know. Halimud einoy nikva ba'adam ki im b'yishuv uvenachas v'tefazer lehem prutois. Give them pennies. Not today. Pennies don't get you too far. But give them, bribe them. Candies were not invented to get a kid off your back. Candies were, you know, in the world to get a child to learn. Tefazel and Pruta is learning, to get children to learn, should be done b'nachas, b'ne'imus. Experience, mechanchim will tell you that children who like to learn are matzliach. And children who don't like to learn are not, and it's not dafka toli in how smart a child is. The learning has to be, to the extent possible, the learning has to be something enjoyable. A child has to feel he accomplishes when he knows. Certainly a child should not come home feeling that his parents expect him to know every taich word or every pshat. It's not the way to get a child to know. He comes home, what he knows you have to commend him for, and what he doesn't know you have to try to get him to know. Homework is not to repeat what he knows, it's to fill in the gaps. And a child, you have to fill in the gaps for a child at home to the extent you can. Not every child has to know. It's not b'nimus. So you can go not knowing a few psukim. It's not the end of the world. Whatever he learns has to be, and it's not, the Gra is not saying it, it's a shita. He's saying it's a teva. The teva is that you're not matzliach to get children to know b'tkifus. You're matzliach to get children to know, that is, b'nachas, b'ne'imus, to the extent possible. Ay, shteitach, that you have to hit. So Zotrashi and Makis, you have to hit them. Zotrashi lahadricham b'derech ha-toiva, to get them to act properly. Avadi, you have to hit. To get them to go to class, you might have to hit them. But the etzem limud, the knowing, that has to be something that comes b'ne'imus, the teva of a human being is that what you enjoy, that you remember, that you know. And that's the nature by all of us. You have people that could repeat to you certain players' batting averages 10 years back. And they don't necessarily have good heads. They just like that baseball player, so they know his batting average all the way back. But a person learns knowledge that he gets, b'ne'imus, that a person remembers. Something that a person gets, b'tkifus, that a person has attained, and a person has to try as much as possible to learn, to teach, and to learn himself, b'simcha. When youngsters come to Rav Pam for a bracha. So Rav Pam, I often heard that Rav Pam tells him, "Why do you want a bracha?" So he says, "I should be a Talmud Chacham." So Rav Pam tells him, "You want to be a Talmud Chacham, you only have to do two things. You have to learn and besimcha. That's it. The besimcha, the learning, a person has to spend his time learning, and it has to be besimcha, it's lived after children. Same thing for adults. When a person learns besimcha, a person has a chance of retaining. When a person learns under pressure, sometimes a person can cram for an exam under pressure. But as any of us who've crammed for exams know, that doesn't stay. What stays is what a person learns b'ne'imus in a relaxed atmosphere, and maybe under a pressure that he feels he has to learn, but that's him learning has to be b'ne'imus, and that's an important guideline. So we have three guidelines. Rabbi Yaakov's, save your pech for things that matter, for things people do when they get older, for lying, for nivel peh. But for things that children grow out of, don't use the ultimate punishment for that. Yaakov is not saying don't be upset. He's saying don't use your ultimate punishment. The more often you use it, the less often it works. And I must add that hitting for something that happens all the time is not a useful thing. I mean in particular for children fighting. And this really fits into Rabbi Yaakov's guidelines. All children fight with their siblings. All children fight with their brothers and sisters, and all parents get aggravated by it, and all parents do sometimes hit their children for it. But we have to know that fighting among siblings is somehow in the Teva Habriya. We know all Teva goes back to the first Metzius that ever existed. Right? Nature always goes back with Teva to the first Metzius, right? Erev Shabbos is always a rush. Why? What happened the very first Erev Shabbos in the Bria? Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashas, Hashem created Tassara 10 things. So every Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashas, we go crazy. The first brothers in the world fought. And Mahavdil, it shouldn't be a fight like that. But the Kach Das is the Teva that siblings fight. And parents, I'm not saying that parents should encourage it. You have to sometimes separate them. But it's not something that the greatest, the strictest punishment is called for. Necessarily, when siblings fight, has to be dealt with. But something that happens all the time, if you're going to hit for it, it's not a davar hamitzi. Now, getting back to chaysech shiftei, I've sounded perhaps a little too liberal tonight in repeating guidelines. It's not mine. I'm just repeating what G'dayle Rabbi Seinu have said as far as hitting children. But for it, there is a guideline of Chaysech Shiftai Sainei Benayin. This guideline, the Tferes Tziyain and his Pirish here on the Medrash Rabbah in the beginning of Shemais, gives us a very important insight to. What does it mean, Chaysech Shiftai Sainei Benayin? If you don't hit your child, you hate him. So Pashin it Shver, what do you mean? You say Chaysech, you love your son too much so you don't hit him. What does it mean, you hate him if you don't hit him? So the Medrash touches up. Chaysech shiftai lebesayif sayne benay. The Pharisean says a pshat api muapi pshat. Chaysech shiftai, why does a person not want to be strict with his son? If he has a child who he knows deserves a punishment, why doesn't he want to be strict? It's because he loves his son. Zakhti the Pharisean, that's not true. Parents have chemla, have rachmanis on children. What is chemla? If you pain your child, it hurts you also. That means that even though you know in your head that your child deserves to be punished, but you're not going to punish him. Why? Because of chemla, because of rachmanis. That rachmanis is ahavas atzmai. You like yourself. If your son has tzar, it bothers you. So you're putting ahavas atzmai ahead of ahavas benai. For the son, you know he deserves to be punished. But you yourself, satutach vei. So chaysech shiftai sainei benai, you're putting your love of yourself ahead of your love of your child by not being strict with him. And Rabbi Isai, this is lav bedafka a shevet, lav bedafka a stick. This happens tog tegloch, where people, unfortunately, they know in their heads that it's not right, but people get their children at young ages accustomed to certain luxuries. And the mamish sainei benai. When children, from when they're young, are used to having all the best candies a whole week. So you're doing him a taiva, he asks you for a good candy and you buy it for him. The tustam a taiva. You're not doing him a taiva. Why do you want to buy him the best toy and the best candy? Because you love yourself. You feel good when the child is happy. Chaysech shiftai sainei benai. It's a sinner for a child. You could have two children. One of them gets soda on Shabbos and it's a treat. And one of them's a garnished. He has it all the time. I don't mean bedafka any one marshal. But thus is with a child, a person has to know a chemla on a child is not ava. Ava is what the head tells you is good for the child. Chemla is what the heart tells you. I heard from a mechanech. My wife teaches in a girls' school. And the parents came and they said they don't understand. It comes ben azmanim, taste by the girls' schools, it comes midwinter vacation. And the girls have such things, they have a week off, they want to go to Switzerland. Where should girls come? They have such a chalom that they want to go to Switzerland when they have a week's vacation. So this mechanech said, I don't know if he told it to them to their face, probably he did. He said he doesn't understand their kasha. The kids are already 5 years old, they already went to Great Adventure, Havada. By the time they're 7 or 8, they went already to Disney World and to Disneyland. By the time they're 10 or 11, so they went already also to Niagara Falls, which Bar Mitzvah Boy never went to Niagara Falls.
And by the time they're in high school, they went to Eretz Yisrael already at least two or three times. So he doesn't understand. They take their children everywhere when they're little children. So now comes midwinter vacation. Where should they want to go? You run out of places to go. The world is only so big. So memela, they have chalaimis. Our gedolim tell us that we live too much in luxury. And the truth is, we're used to it. And when gedolim say you live too much in luxury, so everyone says, yeah, Yana lives a little too much in luxury. Fact is that we live too much in luxury, with luxuries, on trips and vacations. I'm not coming to say, don't do it, because no, gedolim the tayvim imeni already said it, and vafifl sapayil sapayil. But one thing, you don't have to take the children. If parents go to Florida, to Disney World, so they shemen zich, they're going for themselves to see Mickey Mouse. So they say they're doing it for the kids. That's the emes. Don't, for the kids, do them a taiva. Leave the kids behind. And tell them you're going on a business trip, if otherwise they'll scream they want to come. And enjoy yourself at Disney World. And go, and don't be ashamed, whoever you see there is going for the same reason. And leave the kids home. Let them wait, and Yitz Hashem, they'll be chasen kala, they'll have to go somewhere. Let them go then. Let them have some place left to go. What taiva are you doing to a child on Chol HaMoed if he enjoys going to Nellie Bly around the corner, and you go and you fly him off to who knows where? You're doing a taiva for the kid? It's not. It's mamish l'shteit in tferes tziyayin. It's a parent loves himself and feels good when the kid smiles, and they have mecholam tzich that the kid smiles more here. It's not true. You go as far as you want to go, on the way back in the car, they're going to be screaming. It doesn't matter where you go. And it's all the same. A child, now I'm not saying when kids grow up and they have expectations because of peer pressure, a parent can't be so strict. When someone grows up and his kid is already in a class, all his friends go to certain places, I'm not saying that the child has to be different. I'm talking about force-feeding luxuries to children. If chaysech shiftai sainei benai does not apply as much to hitting children today as it once did, and it certainly doesn't in an open society today where children are exposed to everything, but kifus is not the way to go. But it certainly applies to the luxuries that we get our children accustomed to. Children don't have to know that every winter and sometimes twice a year parents fly off on a vacation. They don't have to grow up knowing that they deserve a vacation twice a year. Maybe they won't be able to afford it. The parents should say they're going away. So people tell that they're being hypocrites. They're being hypocrites. They deserve a vacation, not the kid. So the terrorist is two things. First of all, so maybe a child will be better than you. Maybe he'll talk to be better than you. He deserves a better chinuch than what you do. And second of all, so you're a little hypocrite. Vos tita tata nishvam kind. So you'll be a little hypocrite. And you'll also, but to be mechanach the children, give them what they're accustomed to, but you don't have to give them more than what they expect, more than what they're accustomed to. And I suspect that in David HaMelech, chaysech shiftai sainei benai, it was not simply a matter of hitting with a stick, but the Pharisee and Taka touches it up here. It's more than that. It's this aspect of a parent having rachmanis to his children too much, to the point where it's a havas atzmai, not a havas benai. A person has to learn to control himself in this regard. I wish everybody a good mayit, a good yantif. We'll see each other, Mi Yitzhashem, in 2 weeks and 13 days around Matzoi Shabbos.